We have been reflecting in our homilies this Lent on our parish mission statement, to know Jesus and to make him known. This is what we say we're all about here at St. Mark, the main thing that always needs to remain the main thing, that we want to know and love and be in relationship with Jesus, and then to share that good news of what Jesus has done for us with everyone in whom we come in contact. And now we have arrived at the fourth Sunday of Lent, which is often referred to as Laetare Sunday. Laetare in Latin means rejoice. That's the meaning of the rose-colored vestments and the fact that we have flowers in front of the altar. The fourth Sunday of Lent is a little bit of an oasis in the desert of Lent. It's about halfway through the season. There are just about 20 more days left until the celebration of Easter. So the church invites us to rejoice today in the nearness of that Easter celebration. And to do that, we have these wonderful, wonderful selections from God's holy word for our meditation this morning. And if I were to sum up this Sunday's scriptures with a headline, it would be, God makes all things new. God makes all things new. We all love new things, don't we? Did you ever get a new car and just sit in the car and breathe in the smell? Oh, smells so good. When I was a kid, we got new carpet throughout the whole lower level of our house. And Mom instituted a new rule. No sneakers in the house because we had new carpet. We all love things that are new. In the first reading today from the book of Joshua, we hear about how Joshua leads the Israelites into their new home, the promised land that God is giving to them. We hear about how they celebrate the Passover. And they eat of the yield of the land. And we're told that then the manna ceases. The manna was the bread that God gave to the Israelites as they wandered through the desert for 40 years after they left Egypt. And now God has given them something new, so they don't need that bread anymore. In the second reading this morning from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul tells us that we have become a new creation in Christ. A new creation. God is doing something new in each and every one of us because of our faith in Jesus. And to understand what that new thing is, we should first look at what is old. What the old thing is. The old thing is the original sin that we inherit from Adam and Eve. Think back all the way to the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis. The devil comes to tempt Eve. And what does he say to her? He says, "Did God really tell you not to eat of that fruit? He did that because he knows if you do, you will become like God." The devil plants in Adam and Eve distrust of God as our good father. That's the origin of original sin and is passed on down through the ages through our humanity. That's the old within us, this distrust of God as our good father. But St. Paul tells us that Jesus reverses the disobedience of Adam and Eve. He is obedient to God, his Father. He trusts God as the good Father. And what does he do? He becomes sin, St. Paul tells us. Even though he had no sin, he takes on our sinfulness and dies on the cross to create us anew. By the sacrament of baptism. And what is new in the sacrament of baptism? It's God's divine life
His grace that comes to live in our souls. God recreates us in baptism. He doesn't just paint over the dirt. He recreates us anew by giving us His divine life. And He raises us up. He raises us up to the dignity of being His son or His daughter in the sacrament of baptism. We have an infinite dignity because we are God's sons and daughters. What could be more new than God's divine life living in our soul? And through that, God becomes our Father. And we are invited to live in relationship with our good Father. And to believe that He is truly good. And that He desires only the best for us. Not to listen to the devil trying to get us to distrust God. But to believe that He is our good Father. While we all love new things, what happens to new things? Eventually, they're not so new anymore, right? After a while, your car doesn't smell new. After a while, Mom didn't care if we ran through the living room with our sneakers on. The carpet wasn't new anymore. And the same thing is true in regards to our dignity as God's sons and daughters. We can treat it as if it's not new. We can treat our dignity as something that we don't care about. We turn our back on. We don't live according to that dignity. And what do we call all of that? We call that sin. And God knows that we are prone to sin. God knows that we go chasing after things that we think will make us happy. God knows we elevate lesser goods to a higher level than Him. God knows that we become addicted to pleasure and power and money and all of those things that our world says will make us happy. And He knows that. And that's why He gives us the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, to restore us to the dignity of His sons and daughters. And that's what we read about, or we heard about in the gospel reading today. That beautiful parable of the prodigal son. I tend to think of this as the parable of the merciful father. Because really, He's the center of the story. He's the one we're meant to learn about in this parable. To understand that He represents God who is our good Father, our merciful Father. And Jesus says that whoever sees Him sees the Father. And as we desire to know and to love and to be in relationship with Jesus, when we see Him, we see our merciful Father. And we're invited to reflect on that mercy of God in this parable. How God wants to make us new and raise us up to our dignity. And that's why He gives us the sacrament of reconciliation. When we look at the parable, sometimes we can be like the younger son. Sometimes we can deny our relationship with our father, as he did. Father, give me my inheritance. I don't want to be part of you anymore. We do the same when we choose to sin, when we turn away from God our Father. And notice the younger son goes off to a foreign land. He's dwelling far away from his father, far away from home. He's lost out there. And when he finally comes to his senses, he rehearses this act of contrition he's going to make. And he decides to go back to his father. But what happens first? His father spots him coming. It says while he's still a long way off, his father runs out to meet him. In the ancient world, older men did not run. It was seen as beneath their dignity. But here, this father, he's looking for his son. When he sees him, he runs out to meet him. He's so happy that the son is coming back. And the son gives this confession of sin, And what does the Father say? He says, bring the sandals, bring the robe, bring the ring. He raises him back up to the dignity of his son. He had turned his back on that dignity, and here the Father raises him back up. Because he has come home, he was dead, but he has decided to come back to life. And then we look at the older son. Sometimes we can be like the older son. The older son, we're told, was out in the field. He too was far away from his father. And when he comes back in and he hears all this commotion, he goes up to his father and says, I've done everything you've asked me to do, and you've never given me anything in return. His relationship with his father was transactional, not a relationship based on love. And we can do the same thing with God. God, see, I've done X, Y, and Z, and now you need to do A, B, and C for me. Instead of seeing our relationship with God as a relationship of love, as we know Jesus, we know we can enter into relationship with him and through him to our Father, we can be like that older son and see it as a give and take. We can also become jealous and envious and prideful, as that son is. And in the sacrament of reconciliation, we kneel down and we honestly confess our sins. And it's in that act of humility that we're no longer like that older son. Rather, we desire a loving relationship with our Father. The sacrament of reconciliation is God's great gift to us. It's one of the signs of his mercy, of being the merciful Father from this parable. Because he's watching, waiting for us. And when we come, he embraces us. Like the Father did to the prodigal son, but also to the older son. Son, you have been with me always. Everything I have is yours. To really know Jesus, and to really want to make him known, we have to live according to this dignity that we have been given. This new creation alive within us as God's sons and daughters. And so I hope you would consider celebrating the sacrament of reconciliation this Lent. In order to help with that, we're having a number of special times for confession. The first one is this Tuesday from 3 to 5 and 7 to 8 p.m. There'll be a number of priests here to hear confession, and a couple of father visitors, too, because everyone loves father visitor. Friday night at 6:30, I'll be in the chapel to hear confession during adoration, First Friday. And then we'll have another day of reconciliation on April 4th from 3 to 5 and 7 to 8 with a number of visiting priests. And we'll also be offering confession on Good Friday this year. If you don't know how to go to confession or not sure what to do, there's an insert in today's bulletin, which you can get in physical copy today or online on our website. It has an examination of conscience, questions to ask yourself before you come in to really delve into the things that you need to ask for forgiveness for. And it even has an act of contrition on the bottom. In case you don't remember the act of contrition, you can take that paper right in with you and read it and pray it right off that paper. God loves us so much. He's our merciful Father. And he loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us where we are. He wants to welcome us back. And that's why he gives us this sacrament. This past Wednesday evening, we did a little something different with our family faith formation. Instead of gathering over in the hall with the adults upstairs and the kids in their classrooms according to their age groups, we gathered here inside of church, and we had a half hour of Eucharistic adoration here on the altar of the church with Jesus exposed in the monstrance. And then after that, we had confessions. We had four priests here. We heard confession for an hour and a half. It was awesome. There were kids who came to confession who hadn't been since their first reconciliation. There were adults who hadn't been in 20, 30, 40 years. And they came out high-fiving and fist-bumping. They were so happy that they had been forgiven. It was an awesome, awesome evening. And we want that feeling for all of us this Lent, so that when Easter comes, we can truly say that we have met our merciful Father, that we know Jesus who died and rose for us, and that makes all the difference in my life.